We want to thank you for tuning in to the Good News of Jesus Christ.org. I'm Martin Williams. We're going to be talking about ministry today. What is ministry? In the New Testament, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, 4, and 5, there is one ministry that is mentioned twice, and it is the only ministry that is in the New Testament. So when we read through 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4, it gives us an indication of two covenants there and how underneath one covenant there was the ministration of death according to the letter, and that the other ministry is the ministry of reconciliation, which is the ministry of the Spirit that is not of the letter. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So the Old Testament ministry was characterized as the ministration of death, and the New Testament ministry is characterized as the ministration of life. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that God has made us ambassadors of God, and by being reconciled to God in Christ Jesus and receiving the righteousness of God, we have received, being reconciled to God, we've received the ministry of reconciliation. So that is the only ministry in the New Testament that is defined as the ministry. And it's also said there too that we're given the ministry of reconciliation, and that God qualifies us for that. And he makes us able ministers, which means sufficient ministers, and that he ordains us for that ministry. So God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And God gives us tools to fulfill that ministry. And the tools that God gives us to fulfill that ministry is his Holy Spirit, which according to Jesus saying, looking forward to the upper room, and in not many days from now, once Pentecost has fully come, I will pour out the Spirit, the promise of my Father. And when the Spirit comes in you, you'll receive power to be my witnesses, to testify of my witness. So his Holy Spirit gives us power to testify of his witness in reconciling men to God. So we were reconciled to God through the cross. So the cross, telling people the testimony of Jesus Christ and them receiving it by faith, is the ministry of reconciliation, just to give a little clarity there. And God qualifies us for it, he makes us able ministers for it, and he ordains us for it. And every member of his body, meaning every Christian, is a minister of reconciliation, man or woman, every member. That's what the Bible teaches there. So that is the ministry that every single Christian has. There is no other ministry. That's what the Bible teaches. Just to clarify that and give evidence, stay with the video until the end, okay? Because we're going to go over every single thing scripturally from the original language that people say is an office or a ministry, and that's not the case. Let's start with office, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 3, two times uses the word office in the English Bible, and Acts 1:21 uses the term office. In the original language, if anyone desires the work of a bishop, if anyone desires a bishop, he desires a good thing. If anyone desires an overseer, he desire, or a deacon, he desires a good thing. So in the English, it says, if anyone desires the office of a bishop, if anyone desires the office of a deacon. But in the original language, the office is not there in either instance. In fact, in Acts 1:21, the term office is not there either, it's administration. So anytime that you see the term office in the English, it's not in the original language, which means there are no offices in the New Testament, because nowhere in the New Testament is the term office in the scripture. So what is deacon and what is bishop and what is an elder? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I was going to address it anyway. The apostles in Acts chapter 6 saw that there were women who were being overlooked in the daily needs. So to make sure no one was overlooked, because if you look in Acts chapter 2 verses 42 through 46 and Acts chapter 4 verse 32 on, and then Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. In those three examples, it talks about the believers having everything in common, and that they sold their possessions, they sold their lands, and brought the funds to the apostles to give to everybody as they would have need. Just to lay a little bit of a foundation there. So when we get to Acts 6, they were overlooked in the daily ministrations, daily needs. So what they did was they said, look, we're going to select six men full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit, and gave a few other things. And we'll give them the appointment of deacon and have them function as overseer, overlooking the deacon to make sure nobody's overlooked. So what episkopos means is to look upon. What deacon means is service. That's all those terms mean in the original language. So one was just looking upon the daily administrations as a second eye, making sure nothing was overlooked. That's what a bishop is. And a deacon was just handling the service of administrations. So they weren't offices. They would just function to make sure one person handing out, the other one overseeing, nobody's overlooked. Okay, we got this taken care of. Nobody's overlooked. Good. So everybody's needs are cared for that are Christians. So what was the elder then? The elder, if you look at the beginning of every epistle, it says, to the called out ones in Corinth, to the called out ones in Galatia, to the called out ones in Ephesus, to the so it was, elders were selected in each city to receive the correspondence, so to speak, and to help with shepherding people, really caring for newborns, because there's two stages of growth: newborns, little children, and then toddlers. The newborns were on the milk of the word, unskilled in righteousness, and they need someone to go before them to show them, look, this is how I follow Christ, you follow Christ the same way. Look, the Spirit guides us in all truth. Look, Jesus, the Anointed One, teaches us all things. This is how you rightly divide the word of truth. This is how you study. This is how you exercise your senses to discern good, discern evil. Hebrews chapter 5. This is how you test the spirits. 1 John 4. So just teaching them and showing them how to, you know, feed themselves, digest the word, the meat of the word on their own. And then from there, that was it. That was the extent of their function. But how did the episcopos, the servants, the deacons, and the elders respond? Well, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, and Acts chapter 5 tells us, and then all the rest of Acts tells us. They were preaching in a temple daily and teaching daily, house to house. They were going to Mars Hills. They were going to Solomon's Porch. They were going on missionary journeys. They were preaching and teaching every day. And then that was the process for how they were helping the new converts. And then once they were able to go on their own, then They were fellowshipping, breaking bread, communion, all the time. And then from there, they were being sent out, going house to house, preaching at the temple daily and teaching, and Solomon's Porch, Mars Hill, mission journeys. That was every member of Christ. Ministry of Reconciliation. So the term elder, deacon, bishop, that was what it was there for, just to receive the correspondence. And look, send John Mark to me, I have need of him, you know, or send this one to me, send Silas, send Apollos. So the point is, it was just for correspondence purposes, but they were all ministers of reconciliation on a lateral playing field with the same authority as his body, him being the head, the only authority. Let every soul be subject to the higher authority, Christ, the higher authority, the head of the church. So everybody was on a lateral playing field. There was no this one having authority in the hierarchy over. That stuff doesn't start until after Constantine comes and establishes the Catholic Church that mimics the spiritual church, the true church in heaven in Christ Jesus, identified in the person of Jesus Christ, and then establishes the hierarchy of a bishop, an elder, and then a deacon, and then years later, through the Dark Ages, changes the elder to a priest. And that's for another teaching. So offices isn't there. That's what the function of those three were, and the purpose of those three. And historical acts. Let's talk about gifts, okay? Because people say that there's offices because God's given them gifts. Well, might be surprised to know, aside from the fact that office isn't there, so therefore there's no offices in the New Testament. There is ministry reconciliation, though, just to clarify that again. Gifts. There is 6 times the word gifts is used in the New Testament. Christ given to us as the gift, Ephesians 4. The gift of the Holy Spirit and salvation. The gift of salvation. The gift of grace whenever we receive him by faith. The gift of righteousness whenever we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and he imputes his righteousness, the righteousness of God, to us through faith. And then the gift of eternal life. It's the only time in the whole New Testament the term gift is used. I've been all over it for the last 20 years for all of these issues. It's not there. So moving on to gifts. What are those if they're not gifts? Well, let's explain what they are. The good news is God can function through us in any one of those capacities. Romans 12, workings of God. Ephesians 4, functions of Jesus through us, Jesus doing them. Or the manifestations of 1 Corinthians 12, the Holy Spirit doing those through us. So let's look at what's actually used contextually in each one of those three instances to bring a little clarity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts in the English and the Greek. Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the realm of the spirit. Gifts is not in the original language. And verse 1, not there. Trust me, not there. I've been looking at it for 22 years. So over and over and over. But when we go a few verses down, I think it's verse 6, the term grace is there. So grace endowments are what all of those things are in 1 Corinthians 12. They are grace endowments. And verse 4 tells us that the Spirit of God is the manifestation, the one who manifests those endowments through us, as he wills to each individual as they need. And edifies the body of itself in love, reaching down to the members. The head is what nourishes the body. That's what it says. That's what it teaches. So we can function through any of those manifestations. God, through his Spirit, can manifest any of those things through any member of his body as members of or servants of reconciliation. If we believe he can manifest, God's not limited. He can manifest. If we believe he can't, well, he can't, because we limit him. That's how it works. Offer your vessels as a vessel of righteousness, yielding yourself or not yielding yourself. That's how it works. Romans 12. Before I move on, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 says that there's the workings of the Father, referring to Romans 12, the functions of the Lord, referring to Ephesians 4, and manifestations of the Spirit, referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's look at Romans 12, the workings of God. God can perform any of those workings of faith, of teaching, of any of those things, of giving, any of those things through us. They're not gifts. They're workings of God, and God works those things through his vessels of honor, so that yield themselves as vessels of righteousness, like Romans 6 says, or vessels of honor, like Romans 9 says. So Ephesians 4, I say that for last because I got to explain this one a little bit more, because a lot of people are stuck on the fivefold ministry. Well, they're not a ministry. There's only one ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. Been looking at it for 20 years. One ministry in the whole New Testament, ministry of reconciliation. Unless Paul didn't know what he was talking about. I think Paul knew what he was talking about. Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 4 too, so I think Paul would have known that there was another ministry besides the ministry of the Spirit. So here's what Ephesians 4 actually teaches. Okay. Verse 7 says, and this is a reference going back to Psalm, that the nations will be given as an inheritance. But in Ephesians 4, verse 7, Christ is the one that's given as a gift to the nations. Okay. So the gift in verse 7 is Christ being given to us. Contextually, when we get to verse 11, and he gave, and then it gives the list of the fivefold. But when you look at gave there, gave is referring back to the sender. So, and he was given, Christ the gift in verse 7, as the apostle, moreover, the prophet, moreover, the evangelist, moreover, the pastor, moreover, the teacher. When you look at the original language, Christ was given to us in a plural sense, okay? You add the article the in front of each one of those because it's referring back to the sender. He is the gift given to us that in the plural is the apostle, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, period. That's what it teaches. Let's look at other scriptural examples. Christ, the apostle, high priest of our confession. Jesus Christ, the first shepherd, not the chief shepherd. The first shepherd, the true shepherd. That's what it's, if he's a true shepherd, what's every other shepherd? So he's teacher called no other man teacher, Matthew, except for your Father in heaven. No other man teacher? He's the teacher. He's the evangelist. He's the prophet. That's, and Christ was in the prophets speaking of those things concerning himself that were going to happen beforehand, speaking through them. He's the prophet. He is the super prophet that Deuteronomy 18:18, referring to Moses, is looking forward to. He's the prophet. He's the fivefold. So he can function the functions of the Lord. Not the functions of man, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not the ministry of man. The functions of the Lord can function through us in any one of those capacities as is needed for individuals as he wills, like 1 Corinthians 12 says. So if someone needs caring, Christ cares through us as the shepherd. If somebody needs teaching, Christ teaches through us as the teacher. If somebody needs to be reconciled to his body, the Lord added to the body 3,000 that day at the Pentecost. A few chapters later, talking about Peter preaching the Lord added to the body 5,000 that day. Who added? The Lord. The one who, well, you see, apostle just means one who sent. So it's the Lord who was sent. The Father sent him. He sends us to go, but it's God reconciling the world to himself. We just are servants of reconciliation, just planting those seeds and speaking. We're co-laborers with him. He's the one saving them. He's the one drawing them to him. He's the one spiritually regenerating them. Him. He's the one doing it. We can't bear no fruit apart from him. He manifests the fruits of the Spirit through us. It's all him. It's his functions. It's his workings. It's his manifestations. It's his fruits of the Spirit. It's him bearing fruit through us. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We're nourished from the head. Look, everywhere you look, it's him. It's not us. We yield ourselves, and he can do any of those things to us. So, folks, if you want to be used of God, you have the ministry of reconciliation. That is your ministry. And God can manifest any one of those grace endowments in 1 Corinthians 12 through us if we yield to him and allow him to and trust him and are obedient and give that word of knowledge on whatever, discern that spirit. So he can do any of the workings of Romans 12, whether it's giving, whatever it is. God is the one who persuades us to do that. He persuades us to give. So if it's any of the functions of the five, somebody needs caring, the Lord cares through us. The Lord teaches through us. When you know not what to speak, the Lord gives you those words. Instant in season, out of season, as that person needs, as he wills at that moment. So if this rubs you the wrong way, it's because you want preeminence over other people. There is no preeminence over other people. Christ has preeminence over heaven, the earth, and under the earth. All authority is given to him. Every knee shall bow to him and confess to him that he's Lord. We're on a lateral playing field, and we serve one another in love. In love, we serve one another. Someone went to bow down before Peter. Peter says, don't bow down to me. I'm a fellow servant. It goes bow down before the angel. Don't bow down to me. I'm a fellow servant. We're all fellow servants, co-workers, co-laborers with Christ. But he's the head. It's his field. We just planting the seeds and watering. God's given the increase. That's what 1 Corinthians teaches. So in closing, Paul states that don't say I'm of Apollos, don't say I'm of Cephas, don't say I'm of Paul, for they didn't die for you, Christ died for you. That's what Paul says. I didn't die for you, Christ died for you. For Christ didn't send me to even baptize. I can just remember baptizing a few. Christ sent me to preach the gospel, lest the cross be made of no effect. And he goes, don't say you're of this one, don't say you're of that one. That's arrogance. He goes, you're Christ. So, and then he goes on to say sectarianism is sin. Look into a denomination. So look into a denomination, not looking to identity in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. It's sin. Because you're looking to something, some other organism, some other system, some other church building outside of the spiritual body of Christ that he raised up, his temple, as a spiritual body that we inhabit in heavenly places when we're born of God and spiritually baptized into the body of Jesus Christ in heavenly places. We're seated with him, our citizenship's in heaven. So we're members of his body, many members of one body, and he's the head over us all. We're all on a lateral playing field. That is the truth. That's what that means. Your ministry is reconciliation, and God wants to use you. He's got a high calling, a heavenly calling, and a holy calling. Answer the call of God today. Serve one another in love. Esteem others better than yourself. As Christ stated in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, esteeming others better than himself. So I hope this gives you some guidance, some understanding. I'm Martin with the Good News of Jesus Christ.org.